Hello, I'm Sebastian. Welcome to Nine Gnar Trees podcast. Today, I will summarize and review the book, The Underground Railroad Records, narrating the hardships, hairbreadth escapes, and death struggles of slaves in their efforts for freedom, is a major 19th century documentary work by William Still, a black abolitionist who served with the Vigilance Committee in Philadelphia. First published in 1872, the book gathers records, letters, biographical sketches, and escape narratives connected to enslaved people who fled bondage through the Underground Railroad. Its purpose is both evidentiary and commemorative. Still preserves names, roots, family ties, acts of resistance, and the practical labor of those who assisted fugitives. Unlike later synthetic histories, the book is rooted in direct encounters, interviews, and notes made close to the events described. It therefore functions as a primary source for African American history, slavery studies, abolitionist organizing, and genealogy. Its form can feel dense, but its documentary precision is central to its lasting importance. I will give you key takeaways from this book. Firstly, William Still turns abolitionist aid work into a documentary archive. A defining feature of the Underground Railroad records is its unusual method of preservation. William Still was not writing from distant memory or producing a conventional retrospective history as a member of the Philadelphia Vigilance Committee, but GI and tool he met many fugitives shortly after their escapes and recorded identifying details, family information, places of origin, and circumstances of flight. This record keeping had immediate practical value. It helped abolitionists provide aid, avoid confusion over identities, and in some cases preserve information that could later reconnect separated relatives. It also had political value, because factual testimony challenged pro-slavery claims that enslaved people were content or incapable of self-direction. Still understood the danger of keeping such notes during the era of the Fugitive Slave Act, when records could expose fugitives and their helpers. The later publication of these materials turns clandestine administrative labor into a public historical archive. The book is therefore not simply a collection of dramatic stories. It is evidence of how documentation itself became a form of resistance, memory, and accountability. Secondly, the narratives emphasize self-emancipation rather than rescue mythology. The book is often associated with the Underground Railroad, but its strongest emphasis falls on the initiative of enslaved people themselves. Still records people who planned journeys, adopted disguises, hid in dangerous places, negotiated transport, endured hunger, and made decisions under extreme risk. The involvement of abolitionists matters, but the fugitives are not treated merely as passive recipients of white benevolence. Their courage, calculation, and emotional endurance remain central. This distinction is important because popular memory of the Underground Railroad can sometimes reduce escape to a romantic network of secret helpers. Still complicates that view by showing that fugitives had to assess geography, surveillance, family obligations, physical danger, and the possibility of betrayal. Accounts connected to well-known figures such as Henry Box Brown or Ellen and William Craft sit beside lesser-known cases, giving the book a broad social texture. The result is a record of self-emancipation at many scales, from famous acts of ingenuity to ordinary but equally dangerous departures from farms, towns, and households. Thirdly, Philadelphia appears as a logistical hub in a wider anti-slavery network. The Underground Railroad records gives unusual attention to the practical infrastructure behind escape. Philadelphia was a critical location because of its geography, free black community, abolitionist institutions, and routes northward toward New York, New England, and Canada. Still shows that assistance required more than sympathy. It depended on fundraising, safe lodging, food, clothing, legal awareness, coded communication, transportation arrangements, and trusted contacts across state lines. The book also identifies the networked character of anti-slavery work, including black activists, Quakers, reformers, and other supporters who took varying degrees of risk. This logistical emphasis makes the book valuable for understanding the Underground Railroad as an organized but flexible system rather than a single institution with fixed procedures. Its operations had to adjust to changing laws, local hostility, and the specific needs of each person seeking freedom by preserving letters and sketches of supporters. Still also reveals the social economy of abolitionism: money, reputation, trust, mobility, and secrecy all shaped whether an escape could continue safely beyond the first point of refuge. Fourthly, family separation gives the records enduring genealogical importance. One of the most important dimensions of the book is its attention to family relationships. Slavery repeatedly separated spouses, parents, children, and siblings through sale, forced migration, and punishment. Still recognize that a name, birthplace, former owner, sibling, spouse, or destination could become essential information for people trying to find relatives after escape. The book, therefore, preserves details that may seem administrative at first, but carry deep historical weight for descendants and genealogists. Such entries can provide rare traces of individuals who were often excluded from official records or recorded only through the perspective of enslavers. For historians, the same details help reconstruct migration patterns, regional differences in slavery, and the emotional cost of forced separation. The records also show that freedom was not merely a change in legal status. It involved the difficult work of recovering kinship, identity, and personal history after a system designed to break all three. This makes the book more than an abolitionist document. It is also a register of disrupted families and remembered connections. Lastly, its catalog-like structure is a limitation and a source of authority. Modern readers may find the Underground Railroad records demanding because it does not move like a single plotted narrative. It is a large compilation of accounts, letters, sketches, and factual entries. Some sections are vivid and dramatic, while others are brief or repetitive. This unevenness can make the book harder to read continuously than later histories or biographies, yet the same structure is also the source of its authority. Still was preserving a body of evidence, rather than shaping every account into literary uniformity. The accumulation of names and incidents demonstrates scale escape was not an isolated miracle but a repeated act of resistance under recurring dangers. The documentary form also reduces the distance between reader and archive. Instead of receiving only a polished interpretation, readers encounter a record shaped by urgency, memory, and practical need. As a result, the book is best approached not only as literature but as a historical repository. Its density rewards selective reading, research use, classroom discussion, and close attention to the patterns that emerge across many individual cases. In conclusion, The Underground Railroad Records is most valuable for readers who want direct engagement with primary evidence rather than a simplified overview of the Underground Railroad. Historians, students, teachers, genealogists, and readers of African American history will benefit from its combination of personal testimony, documentary detail, and abolitionist context. Its practical benefit lies in the preservation of names, relationships, roots, and local networks that are difficult to recover elsewhere. Its intellectual benefit lies in reframing escape from slavery as organized self-emancipation supported by complex interracial and Black-led networks of aid. Compared with many later books on the subject, it stands out because William Still was not only a historian looking backward. He was an active participant in the Philadelphia anti-slavery network and a careful recorder of people he encountered. That proximity gives the work a distinctive authority, even when the prose and structure feel dense. Readers seeking a smooth narrative may prefer a modern history first, but those seeking the raw foundations of Underground Railroad scholarship will find this work indispensable. Its lasting power comes from the combination of human immediacy and archival discipline. It preserves both the danger of escape and the names of those who risked everything to become free. If you would like to support William Still, you can buy the book through the Amazon link I've provided in the podcast description. After reading the book, please let me know what you think and share your thoughts. See you around.